For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Able to move. And so, therefore, even though the theme is still sad, partially this is going to lead us into Rosh Hashanah. And you actually see at the end of Eicha, you see that theme that, you know, we goofed, we made a mistake, Hashem got angry with us, but it was an anger out of love. He still wants to deal with us. In fact, we understood that Hashem, the Gemara says, he took his anger out on a building. You know, he destroyed the building, but the Jewish people are still intact. And it's really a miracle when you think about it, that the survival of the Jewish people, that we're still here today. All of the great empires of the world have just tried to destroy us. And Hitler was just the most recent one, and unfortunately there are other dictators that also want to destroy us, and we're still here. And they're long gone. All of the great empires that, whether it was the Greeks or the Romans or the whoever it was, they are long gone, and we're still here to talk about it. So we're beginning chapter 5. This is on page 118. And each one starts off with remember. It's interesting how each chapter starts about remembering. If we learn the lessons of history, we won't repeat them. One of the challenges that in this country was that people say, remember the Holocaust, but there's no focus to it. Why? Why remember it? What are you supposed to do with it? And so, whereas we'll see that the purpose of the memory here is in order to not repeat the mistakes, which is to learn from the mistakes. One of the themes of Tisha B'Av is that if a person is punished and he doesn't realize he's punished, he's not going to improve himself. And so it's important to realize that we've been punished, that we've suffered. And so Tisha B'Av, a lot of it is looking at the situation. So here, in some ways, that's what we're asking Hashem to do. We're aware that we're punished. The worst thing is like a child that gets kicked out of school and he has a good time, you know. Hey, yay, I'm not kicked out of school. Like, you better believe he's going to do that again, you know. We say to Hashem, we're very much aware of that we're punished, that we're chastised. Zachor Hashem. Hashem should remember Ma Hayolanu, what happened to us. Habei, look, Ura'ei Ischerfaseinu. Hashem should see our embarrassment. Now, we're really talking to ourselves. In other words, if we realize we've been punished and we realize what we've lost, so then we can begin to do teshuvah and then we can begin to learn from our mistakes. But if we're enjoying ourselves and we're ignoring the punishment, so he might have to give, sometimes someone needs to give another punishment because the punishment didn't take an effect. So we're saying to Hashem, we're very much aware of how it affected us. So we said, Hashem, look at what's become of us. See our embarrassment. Some of our thoughts and our prayers have to do with the situation of the Jewish people in the world. Ideally, we're meant to be the older brother. If you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Egypt and he says, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, the Jewish people is my firstborn son. Now, the firstborn, he's a brother with the rest of the world, but they look up to him because he's the oldest. And that's the way we're meant to be, that the nations of the world will look up to us. And in the ideal world, they would have looked up to us, and that's how we would teach them. But we didn't. They didn't look up to us in a good way, and now the way we teach the world is we're spread out amongst the world. It's a different kind of teaching, but Hashem should see what's become of us, that to Jew somebody has become a bad word. If you say somebody Jewed you, it means that they cheated you. So Hashem, look at us and see our embarrassment. Now, some of our embarrassment is our inheritance, which is Eretz Yisrael. What's happened to Eretz Yisrael, Nachla? An inheritance means it's something that we have, but that we should be able to give to our children. So what happened? Now, Chaseinu Nefcha L'Zarim, our inheritance is like backwards. It's given over to strangers. And our own houses, Batenu L'Nachim. And it's interesting, when the state of Israel came into being, there were people that wanted to stop saying the Tisha B'Av prayers. Because they say, well, how can you say Tisha B'Av about not being in the land and not having Yerushalayim? We have all of that back. But if you go to Israel and you go to the Kotel and you just look and you see the dome over there, you know why we still say the Tisha B'Av. Our land is not our land. It's still inhabited by foreigners, by strangers. Our houses, our places, there are other people there. We're like orphans, and there's no father. Some people ask a question, isn't it, if they're orphans, doesn't it mean there's no father? Or sometimes Einav means like the father's not to be found. It's like in the military where the father's disappeared. Now, Imosenu, our mothers, Kalmanios, they're like widows. So again, are they widows or are they not widows? Well, they're not really widows because Hashem will come back. Hashem is like our spouse. He's like our man of the house. But he's left us because he was not satisfied with our behavior and he walked out on us. And so we're like orphans and we're like our mothers are like widows. We're lacking. We don't know how to. We're missing that great support that Hashem was. One of the worst things is something that should be free when it costs money. It's bad enough when things that cost money cost money, but something that should be free costs money. So water should be free. Not only is the water not free, it's our water. We have to pay for the privilege of drinking our own water. And wood also costs. It's like things that you would never dream cost money, cost money. You know, we can relate to that now. It costs money to buy water, you know, a bottle of water. It costs money for fuel. Those are things that should be free. Everything costs money. Altivarenu near Daphne. The things are on our necks. Things weigh. Something's on your neck. It's like a burden. Now, sometimes when people are pursuing you, they finally let go, and you can finally relax. They didn't leave us in peace. We never could stay settled. We were hungry and we were wanting, so we reached out to our neighbors, Mitzrayim. We reached out to Egypt, Nasayad, Ashes for Lechem. And we were used to being self-supporting, and then we had to beg for food. That's like a very sad situation. Abuseinu Chatu, our forefathers sinned, Ve'enum, and they're not here anymore. And here there's acknowledgement, like sometimes people, they repeat the sins that their parents did or that were handed down to them. And so it's important to say that, we realize that our forefathers were punished because they sinned and they're no longer here. And we carry our own sins. We're not guilt-free. It's not just that, well, they sinned and we haven't sinned. And it's really strange, you know, they talk about the sin of the destruction of the temple is that people didn't get along. They hated each other for no reason. So you would have thought that Jews would be really good at getting along with each other and being nice to one another. And the very, very frustrating thing is we still haven't learned the lesson. Like, it's just shocking. Like you would think, like, we've been through so much to sit and to, you know, not be friendly with one, not to care about one another, to just, you know, well, they're a little different than us. It's hard to believe. The Holocaust survivors, many of them, they got along after the war. They felt like, they went through so much. They didn't fight with one another in the same way. Like, they rebuilt the communities, and because they saw themselves all as part of, we're all Jews, we're all in this together. And we're a different generation, and to some extent we're like, well, they look a little different than me. They're more religious, they're less religious. We don't like it. We only like people that are exactly like us. And then when they're like us, they compete with us. We don't like them either. But it's just a natural thing that this idea that here we have a mitzvah to love one another and to do for one another, and somehow we have. And sometimes it happens in families, specifically where people start, you know, something happens, they don't remember what it is, and they look at each other funny, and then they don't treat each other well, and then they don't talk to a sibling, and they don't talk to the, it's such a shame. Like, that's, we all know it. But part of we have to think of it before it happens. Because if you don't think about it, once it happens, there's like too much in between. It's very hard to get people back together. There's a lot of the grass grows in between them. But the lesson that we have to learn is that we still carry our sins. We still have this, I guess the petty fighting or bickering or pettiness that we just allow it to get in the way of what should be. We do care for one another. You know, the biggest proof is, you know, whenever there's something in Israel, our hearts go out. You know, like, what can we do? And we feel like we're being attacked. What do you mean we're being attacked? People are living 1,000 miles away, but every bomb we feel like it's us. So it's like when we get reminders every now and then that we're really one people. But it shouldn't have to be that we get a reminder. It should be that we should always just think that we're all one people. We're all family. We love each other. We have to think of each other. And, you know, the people that will think different, and they maybe say something that hurts our feelings, but we can't carry that sin. Unfortunately, we still carry that sin. And it's just it's frustrating because it's interesting. By the first temple, they got frustrated with the sin of idol worship because the Jews, there was a, we don't have this desire. We don't even know exactly what it is, but people just had this thing where they like to worship idols. They just, it was something that, and they got everybody together and they prayed that Hashem take that away from us, that it was too, too many people had sinned and stumbled with idol worship. And times changed where people no longer had that same desire. Like, none of us have a desire to go bow down to the sun. It just doesn't do anything for me. Nobody's going to, you know, but unfortunately today you still have people that fight with each other. It just, why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Again, we see it in other people. We never see it in ourselves or our own fights, but we always see it when other people fight. We look at them and, isn't that ridiculous? You know, isn't that? But you have to think about it, because situations will come up when we would want to fight with someone, and then we have to catch ourselves and say, wait a second. You know, as much as that person is something that he's doing is bothering me, I'm not going to let it get in the way. He's my family. He's from my people. And I'm not going to carry that sin. I'm not going to, I wish him well. Now, you don't have to want to be next to people. There's certain people you like to spend more time with than others. You don't have to spend time with someone who you don't enjoy being around them, but you should want what's best for them. You should really want, you know, Hashem should bless them. Nothing bad should happen to them. You know, like the, sometimes when a person gets personally hurt, he gets so upset with that other person, he like doesn't wish them well. That's not the Jewish way. That's not we never curse anybody. We never wish anybody bad. In fact, one of the prayers people say before they go to bed is that nobody should be punished because of me. We don't want Hashem to, we don't want anybody to be on our account. We don't want, but unfortunately, there has to be acknowledgement that we still have this problem. We still, there was a rabbi in the previous generation, the Chavetz Chaim, who he dedicated his life to get people to stop talking about each other, you know, saying bad things behind people's backs. You know, because people always said, sticks and stones, I would never hurt another Jew, but people would talk about each other behind their backs. So he tried to, and he was somewhat successful. In other words, people, even though they might do it, at least they say, I'm not, you know, I guess they spoke, at least they know they did it, right? They spoke Lashon Hara, right? And it really makes a difference that people are aware, at least today, they shouldn't be doing it if they do it. Because for many generations, people just, as long as I don't hit the person, I could say whatever I want. But it really has to do with, we have to work on not carrying the same sins. And that's really the, you know, part of the Tisha B'Av focus. It should be that, you know, we've made mistakes, let's learn from them. V'nafshenu navi lachmo. Now, one of the terrible things is that people bring their bread at risk to their lives with their, in other words, to make a living these days, many times you have to do very risky things. And you might think, well, that was in their times, but today it's not so. People have to do all kinds of things to make a living. Even today, they have to go all kinds of places and take all kinds of risks. And but what's the choice? You know, we got to pay our bills. We got to, you know. But now, Shane and Navi Lachmo, they had it in the good. You know, when things were ideal, that every person was in their vineyard. And you know, when you got a vineyard or your orchard, you just wait for the trees to produce the fruit, and you pick them. You don't have to give up. You don't have to travel far away. You don't have to go strange places. You don't have to challenge people. But part of the curse was Menashenu Navi Lach. We have to bring our food with our souls. We have to take risks to get food. today, one of the big challenges is that in order to make a living, many people feel you have to go to college. It's hard to argue with that without a college education, it's very hard to go past getting a job at McDonald's or whatever that is. Many people, the college is set up in such a way that there's a lot of partying and a lot of mingling of the sexes, and the vast majority of people that go into college and stay in the dormitories and they lose their religious values, even if they went to Hebrew schools, and even if they, because that environment is so strong, and it has to do with being young, and you know, people are drinking and they're partying, and they have it's just our culture that they go to college as good, nice, Jewish, sincere kids, and they come back and they don't have the same moral values anymore. Basically, they did it because that was the only way they could make a living, was to go to... To be honest, most people don't really speak this out. I don't know why I do. Maybe I shouldn't. But that's really one of the issues in between, like, the more modern Orthodox and the mainstream, you know, like the more black hat Orthodox, is that everybody agrees that it would be ideal if we went to college and got an education, and that's the best way to advance in society. But at what cost? You know, if you send your kids to a school where they're not at home and they go away and they're in a dormitory, the fact is that a big percentage of them are not going to come back religious. Do you know Alan Dershowitz was religious before he went to college? He's like the Harvard, you know, the but it's an environment that's very challenging. One of the great things about Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch in Germany was that in his congregation, the people all got college degrees and they all stayed religious. And very pious. He was able to do it. There are ways that, you know, a lot of times people get degrees, they stay home and they go to school, and then most of them, since they're still home, they're not fully influenced by that environment. And there are always good kids that are not going to, you know, it's almost impossible in our society to go to college and not experiment with drugs and alcohol and everything else. And when people experiment, sometimes they get distanced from where they were, even though they didn't want it to be that way. And they have to go to college for 8 years, 10 years. They're not the same kids when they come back. But that's really the problem. And some people say, what's the choice? Who can't work at McDonald's? Got to send them off to, you know, medical school, right? So, but that's giving your life to make a living.
Online education, if possible.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just pointing out that's part of the challenge of the exile, is that we have to do all kinds of things that we, you know, we have to send our, you know, our children away to live in a dormitory amongst Gentiles and at great expense, because that's the only way that we hope they'll be able to be independent and make a living, and they need to do well. You know, ideally you go to a place where there's other Jews and they have a Hillel and they have a good system where they're not as tempted, but it's there are risks involved, and so some people will go to the best college even if they don't have such a strong Jewish student group, because they feel that's the only way to advance, that's the only way to make a living, that they'll be able to follow their dreams. And so that's benafshenu, that we get our bread with our lives. We physically give up our lives, or we spiritually we take risks in order to make a living. Mifnei cherev, I mean, there's a sword out there, it's very dangerous. Verse 10, Arenu katana nikmaru, our skin melted like being in an oven. Sounds like here, like they were just in the deserts, and the sun was beating down on them like slaves. They have to work outside in the sun, they faced the terrible sunburn. Mifnei zalfus rav, and they also had the fever of a famine that they were. These were specifically afflictions that they had, but throughout times when people have been afflicted, they've had to take forced marches and do other things where they were in the sun and they faced famine. Verse 11, Nashim Mitzian Ina Basulis Ba'or Yehuda. The women, our women folk, were abused, all kinds of terrible things happened. And again, this is true of the Holocaust and of other times that people face abuse or... our society, again, that's part of the challenge of being in exile. They'll tell you in college that people get abused, you know, that they face, you know, sometimes they call it light abuse. They're just, you know, people are groped, or they're, But it's a life has a lot of suffering. We live in a very challenged world. But we see that as part of our punishment. The ideal thing would be to live in Israel in a place of peace and security. A lot of the Jewish cities in Israel didn't even have police departments because it wasn't necessary in the early years. Because Jews, no, they don't steal. They don't hurt each other. They don't murder. They don't kill. It was unheard of in different societies. Sorry, Biyadam Nitlu. Now, officers were held up by their hands. It's like they were hung by their hands. It was like a specific punishment. It's kind of like a crucifixion kind of thing. They're hanged by their hands. Panei Zakenim Lo Nerdu. For us, we always show so much respect to our elders. And we give our seats to the elderly people. And they didn't show any respect to the elders. They didn't honor the face of the elders. They didn't show that respect, and that was so painful to us to see people that have lived their lives. They should be esteemed and they should be treated well. And then here they were humiliating them, the elders. And Bechurim Tachon. Now, youth is usually for growth, for using your youth to develop. They made the youth push the millstones. The millstone was like the grinding work. They had these heavy stones that they used to grind. So instead of being productive, they would make people waste their lives on the millstones. When the Arim Be'etz Kashlu, and people would stumble under the wood. Not sure if they had like a wood block on top of them, or they. Some people say the people were so weak they would even trip on a piece of wood. Like a person is strong, they can walk on anything. But if they're weak, then they would stumble and get terrible things that they did to the Jewish people. Zakenim Mishor Shavasu. Now, with us, the elders, elders usually mean the sages, that we used to have gathering places where people would gather together by the gates of the city. And that was usually where they taught Torah and where they had justice, where they would make sure that everything in the city was correct. They would go to the gates. But they worked the people so hard and they tortured them that the elders couldn't, they didn't feel well enough to go to the gates. They didn't feel they could manage the affairs of the city. Now our young people, they should be singing. They should be cheerful. And in other words, the seasoned people, they need to be making plans and going to the gates, and the young people, they need to be singing and thinking about the future. But because of the suffering, you couldn't find the old people in the gates, and you couldn't find the young people singing. And that's a tragedy, because that's what we needed. Shavas masos libenu. And the worst thing was, we're supposed to be joyful, and the joy was gone from our hearts. That's the natural state is to be happy. That's the way we're supposed to be. And people, the happiness was gone. Nefach le'evo mecholenu. And the dancing, there are different expressions of happiness, song, dance. And instead of being happy songs and happy dances, it turned into mourning. They had chants for mourning too, by the way. They had like mourning chants where they would hire criers at the funerals, and it was you don't hear it so much here, but there are certain sing songs that some places use when they give funeral speeches. Very, like, I think they call it a dirge. In Americans, if you ever hear taps, you feel sad. Da-da-da-da, because we went to the movies and you always saw the hero died and they played the taps. But music, it used to be that was part of a funeral, that there were certain songs of mourning and certain cries, and that helps. In other words, that helped a person express their feelings. Again, we just don't have it today as much as it used to be. So instead of the happy songs, the cheerful songs, we have like the songs of mourning. Nafu ateres roshenu, the crown of our head, our glory, the base of Mikdash, the Shechina, it's fallen. It's no longer there. The fact that we represented Hashem in this world, and that Hashem's presence was with us. And even there's the idea of having holiness, again, we live in this immoral world where we're ashamed to, you know, we read about the kind of stuff that goes on, and we meet people that do all kinds of things, and we see what happens, and it's not holiness, and we miss that. Now, this is interesting. We have one of the oys. Where does the oy come from? Here's an oy. Oy lanu, woe is to us. Ki nafu ki chatanu. Now, sometimes we blame it on others. And if you blame problems on others, you're never going to get anywhere. And so it's very, very important that first we remember the suffering, we think about the suffering, we pray to Hashem to help the suffering. But we have to remember, woe is to us, because we brought this on ourselves. We chatanu. 17. Now, where is their worry in my heart? What is it that's bothering me? On this is the worry in my heart. Al elon, these things, chashku einenu. This is what a person is supposed to be thinking about. And that is, again, we tend to get busy with our lives. We get very comfortable. There are things we enjoy. But a Jewish person always should be thinking about the following things. Al har Sion, he should be thinking about the land of Israel, Mount Zion. The Temple Mount was a place of holiness and closeness to Hashem. So the Temple Mount, Sheshamim, now is desolate. Instead of being a place where people get inspired and a place of holiness, it's desolate. Shualim, now it's a place of foxes. Foxes don't usually hang around where there's people. And the Temple Mount became a place of foxes. Some of you might be familiar, there's a famous story with Rabbi Akiva. That he was traveling with a group of sages after the destruction of the temple to Yerushalayim, and they came near the mountains of the where they could see Yerushalayim from the distance, and they all tore their clothing and were crying, and then they saw like a fox come out of the area, which was the place of the Holy of Holies, and the other sages just broke down. It was such a sadness that this was like such a holy place where the intense closeness to Hashem could be experienced. And you have to understand what the temple was. We all have moments in life where we're depressed or where we feel distant. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, you could solve that. All you had to do was walk to the Beis HaMikdash and you became a different person. If you felt distant from Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, there was the song of the Levium, and there was the smells of the incense and the steaks and the, you know, it was a good smell, whether you're vegetarian or not. People were, people came from all over. It was like a very, people that felt distant, they walked away, and they walked away changed. They felt connected and they felt happy. And they had a place where they could wake themselves up. They could rejuvenate. They felt meaning to it. They could see miracles. If they had doubts, they connected. And if they had halakha questions, they could go to the courts and they could get justice. And so there were just all the problems we have in life they could solve. They could go there, and all you had to do was you felt like you had a shoulder to cry on. That was the basic thing. You went there and... The most common offering we call a shlamim, or a peace offering. It's like saying hello to God. It was a greeting, and the person they left, and they we don't have it today. We don't know exactly how it worked or what it was, but we know that people went there. Sometimes a person had sinned, and people talked them into going to the Beis HaMikdash, and they walked away changed. They would never think of doing that again. They became a different kind of person. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have that place where we can experience. Today, many times we all want to have moments where we want to do the right thing, and then it gets lost because we have no way to act on it. Then they could act on it. They could go to the Beis HaMikdash. And so they no longer had that place. And when they saw the fox coming out, they cried bitterly. And Rabbi Akiva smiled. And they couldn't get over it. What are you smiling? It's not the time to smile. And partially it was because there was a prophet that had said that the Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed, would become a place where there'd be foxes. And people laughed at the prophecy. They said, what do you mean there are foxes in the Beis HaMikdash? This is a very big, it's like saying in Manhattan Square, Manhattan's going to turn into a forest. It's never going to happen. You know that. You know how much real estate costs there? It's like you're going to have wild, you know, it's not going to, it would never happen. And so Rabbi Akiva said, once I saw that this prophecy came true, I know that encourages me that all of the good prophecies will come true, that the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and there'll be new. And, you know, we live in a time where it has come true. There is the streets of Yerushalayim, there are, you can go there and hear, Od Yishama, you'll hear, you can hear the bride and the groom in the streets of Yerushalayim, which for 2,000 years, people said it was a dream, it was impossible. And you can hear it today. And people said, you know, Jews were scattered all over even 100 years ago, people said that the Iron Curtain, nobody leaves the Iron Curtain. There's a million Jews from Russia who are now in Israel. There are Jews from Africa that are now in Israel. There are Jews from all over people said Americans will never leave America. Every year there are Americans that pick up from our community, people that did very well. They pick themselves up and they go to Israel. Like we're seeing the dreams come true in our time. And so Rabbi Akiva said, even though it's very sad, the situation, I know that the prophecies will come true. So this is kind of the last few verses. These are actually quoted in some of our prayers. Ata Hashem la'olam teshif. And they said, even though Hashem's presence with us was taken away, Hashem lives forever. Kisacha, his throne, Lador Vidor, is for all generations. We know that there'll be a future and that Hashem is still here. Lama lenetzach, it seems like forever. It seems like forever that Hashem is forgotten. Tazvein, it's been so long. So we're aware that it was a long time ago that we had the Beis HaMikdash, that we had the more intense presence of Hashem. And here you have the verse. So this is very much part of the High Holiday davening, part of the Fast Day davening. And that is, sometimes we feel like it could be we goofed, but we don't even know how to fix it. You know, like we goofed, we sinned, but how do we fix it? So we ask Hashem to help us fix it. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Bring us near to you. Again, that's what we had when they had the Beis HaMikdash. We could be near Hashem, and just being near Hashem, we could figure out what the right thing was. So we say to Hashem, bring us back to you, and then v'nashuv, and then we'll do teshuvah. We need you to help us. We know we've goofed, we know we've done wrong, but we don't even know how to come back. But if you, Hashem, will bring us next to you, then we'll figure it out. So, like, instead of punishing us for being bad and for making mistakes, we ask you, you know what? We really want to do everything right. You bring us back, and then we'll do teshuvah. And then we say the following. Chadesh, like this is the word, same word as new month, or the word for month really means something new. It means the old moon disappeared and now there's a new moon, which means it's a new month, it's a new opportunity. The word tiskadesh means that something is new. So we say to Hashem, Kadesh, give us a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. It's a new, just turn over a new leaf. Kadesh Shemenu, give us new days just like it used to be. We can come back to you. So it's all dependent. We pray to Hashem. Again, we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Eila, bring us back to you. We know you're the source of all goodness and all kindness and all love. Bring us back to you. And then we're aware that we have our shortcomings. V'nashu, we'll come back. And then we can have new days just like the old ones. We can go back to previous glory, to being in Yerushalayim, to having our Sion, to representing Hashem in the world. Now, you might say, well, you rejected us. That's Kimas Mastanu. But even though you rejected us and you showed your anger, it's enough. That's it. We already had a lot of punishment. Some of, like children always say, is that if I've been, you know, I'm in timeout. Is it enough time yet? You know, it's enough. So we say to Hashem, you know, we've been in timeout for a long time. You know, it's enough. It's been a lot, you know, and we have suffered a lot. And so, then typically we repeat that because that's the, it's so interesting, like, you know, this is our saddest book, but it ends with hope. And it ends with an awareness that Hashem didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash and make us suffer because just for the sake of suffering. It was in order to get us to change, to turn around, to rebuild. You have to, sometimes you have to knock down the old in order to rebuild the new. And so we goofed as a people, so to speak. We had generations where people did the wrong things, but now we feel we've suffered. We're aware that we have our shortcomings, and we ask Hashem to bring us back, and then hopefully it'll happen soon. Amen. So Mirat Hashem, next week we're going to start a Kohelis or Ecclesiastes. I'm sure it's in this book too. The listed here is the last one. That's the book that we read on Sukkot. So.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.